Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly, we want to stay with God no matter how great the test or how hard the trial. We want to stay with God. We thank God for just being here on the broadcast today. You are listening to the Prospering Souls broadcast, and we are here to teach the Word of God. We have been enjoying ourselves over these last weeks and so, and months, so a couple of months actually, talking about spiritual gifts and we are finishing up on a manifestation gift, so we're in that third set of gifts. You have the motivational gifts and the ministry gifts, and now we're talking about the manifestation gifts. And so we're just so glad we had an awesome lesson on last Sunday, such a powerful teaching coming from Elder Shirley Russell and Elder Timberlake, who have been teaching also on manifestation gifts. And so we're thankful, so thankful for their contribution and for their time and that they have taken to study the Word of God and to be able to rightly divide the Word of God and bring it to you on this broadcast. So we're thankful for that. I'm going to open up with prayer, and then we'll get ready to get right into our lesson. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we thank you, Lord, that you are our shepherd and that we shall not want. And we thank you, Lord, that you are our all sufficient one, and you're omnipotent and you're omnipresent, Lord. We thank you for it today. We thank you, Lord, that you have not forsaken us, that you have never left us alone, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for that. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to let the word come forth today and bless it to fall on good ground, Lord Jesus, that those that hear it, Lord Jesus, might receive the word of God and then run with it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, that it will, they will hear it and it will change their lives, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you today. Anoint the teachers today, oh God. Give them that yoke-breaking anointing, Lord, as they come forth and teach the word of God. Lord, we're so grateful unto thee, oh God, because we know that we can't do anything without you. But, Lord, through Christ, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us, oh God. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, that we have you to depend on and you to lean on, oh God. And we thank you so much for your grace and for your mercy, God. So, Lord, as we go forth today, we ask you to bless us all our steps, Lord Jesus, and bless the words as they come forth, oh God. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen and amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I was going to do it just like a brief recap. I just kind of do this every day, every time, because we're talking about the manifestation gift. And they're a supernatural demonstration of the Holy Spirit's presence and power. The Spirit of God is the source of these gifts, and they are manifested for the benefit of others and to bring glory to God. The manifestation gifts of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit. And to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And that's 1 Corinthians 12:7 through the 11th verse. And we are talking about the manifestation spirit, a gift. And we talked about, Elder Russell was talking about, and we're going to let her go on from here, but we were talking about last week the gift of miracles. And so it was such a blessing. We had so many people, the testimonies that were coming forth were so awesome. And we just believe that God blessed all of those that heard that wonderful teaching, and we look forward to hearing the wonderful teaching today. Elder Russell?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Elder Timberlake.
Yes. Praise
the Lord. Yes. Praise the Lord. We are ready, and we're going to turn it over to you all so you can take your time, because we said we're going to stay on these gifts until the Lord tells us something different. So we're looking forward to the teaching today. God bless you. I'm handing it over to you. God bless you.
Okay. Elder Timberlake, do you want me to start first?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So we were talking about miracles, gifts of miracles, and we did quite a few personal testimonies last time, which I believe was a benefit to us and the audience. But I just want to say, again, a miracle is something that is humanly impossible but divinely simple. Difficulties always has to be measured by the capacity of the agent that is doing the work. When God is an agent doing the work, talk of difficulties is absurd. You know, when you know God and he shows you and you're involved in a gift of miracle, you know, I mean, it's astonishing, but yet you know that God is able to do exceedingly above what you may even think. So it's easy for you to grasp the miracles, the gifts of God, gifts of miracles, if you know and love the Lord. Paul, the apostle, said to King Agrippa, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" So, Tim, like, you want to get Acts 26:8?
Okay.
Acts 26:8
says, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?"
Yes. why should it be impossible that God should raise the dead? He breathed life into Adam when he was just an intimate matter made out of mud. God breathed life into him, and so for God to raise the dead, as Paul was preaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, why should you think it is a thing incredible that God should raise the dead? The Bible, of course, as we all know, is full of miracles. And probably the biggest of these starts in the first verse of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that's Genesis 1 and 1. Now, you can believe it or not. And with that, you should not have any trouble with the rest of the book if you believe that God created the heavens and the earth. Because it gives to you the proper concept of God. He is wise, he's omnipotent, powerful, creating the entire universe. A God who is big enough to do that, is big enough to do what? Anything. So anything is impossible with God. And I would say that many people have difficulties accepting miracles. And I think it's because they do not accept God, truly accept God. They only think of the realm of the natural and the natural phenomenon. And they have excluded the supernatural from their thought process. Therefore, when you talk about a miracle, they are naturally skeptical because they do not believe in God as they should. And thus, they have to rationalize or deny all miracles of supernatural manifestation. Excuse me, I'm a little tongue-tied. And, you know, it's so true because, like we were speaking about miracles on last Sunday, when the Lord first revealed a miracle to me, it was quite shocking. It was quite revealing, something I've never seen before. But I knew that it was God. I had no question about that. The only question I had was, why would you choose me? Who am I? You know, I was in awe by that, you know, and sometimes I still am. But I believe that it was a miracle. There are those who say that the Bible is actually Hebrew mythology and that the authors were developing their heroes from the Hebrew people in their mythology. They sought to establish those heroes who the people could look up to and admire. And so Moses was one of those Hebrew men around whom was built many stories of miracles. Manifestation, but in reality, all of these manifestations can be easily explained in the results of a natural phenomenon. I'm getting that word a little mixed up, excuse me. There are many miracles in the life of Moses, and the gift of the working of miracles surely were exceedingly that Moses possessed with the Egyptians in Exodus 7. There was a turning of the river into blood. And you want to share some of those, Sister Timberlake? Some of the miracles that he did?
Some of the plagues?
Yeah. There was a plague of frogs.
And
that's Exodus 7.
Moses said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. The first plague was the blood, as you said. The second one was frogs. Frogs just going everywhere, all over. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch forth thy hand with thy rod over the streams of the river and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enhancements and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frog from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord.
Amen. So we see that.
There were 10 plagues. And what's unique about most of the plagues was that the magicians, some of them, initially they were able to perform some of those things too. And that's why today some people in today's society, and even back then, they think they have powers of themselves. And the enemy does have some power, but his power is limited. But the gift is called the gift of working of miracles. And when God supernaturally does something, he might let the enemy imitate to a certain point. But when he showed forth his supernatural hand, the enemy could not do the other plague. The enemy could not undo the firstborn being killed. The enemy could not do that because God is sovereign, and he can do anything he chooses, and everything is subject to him. And so sometimes people have the tendency to think because they have a gift that they can operate and do their own thing at will when they want to. And God allows some of that to happen to a certain extent. But when his will is and his purpose is on point and it's to be done, then he steps in and shows himself miraculously and amazes everybody, and everybody, just like Pharaoh at this time, had to become subject to the power of God. Go ahead, Elder Russell.
Amen.
Does anybody have something to say about that? In the comments. Okay, Brother Russell.
Okay. So, you know, even today we all, of course, subject to God. And through his miraculous word is when we learn his direction and about his miracles and his prophecies and other things. There were the miracles in Numbers 17 of God showing his approval upon Aaron as the high priest and his family. There was the water that came out of the rock when it was smitten by Moses. And, of course, the great miracle that the nation always looked back to acknowledge as a sign that God was with them and that they were God's people was the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea so that the children of Israel were able to pass through on dry land. The Egyptians attempting to do so themselves were drowned. Anyone have a comment on that? Now, there are those who would try to explain by natural means the parting of the Red Sea from Exodus 14. And they say, actually, it is not the Red Sea. It is a sea of reeds, which is quite shallow. And that oftentimes in the Red Sea of reeds, where the wind is blowing for a period of time, it sort of blows the water back, and it is only ankle deep. And in reality, it is very shallow, and thus, with this wind, they were able to pass over an ankle water. But, you know, man can always find reasons to dispel a miracle of God. And they were saying that the water was only ankle deep. But it was quite a miracle that God could drown the whole Egypt army ankle deep water. I don't see how he could have did it, do you? The prophet Elijah seemed to possess this gift of working miracles. You remember he prayed and it did not rain for the space of 3 years. Thus brought the great drought into the country. He prayed again and it rained. During this period of drought, he came to a widow and asked her to give him something to eat. And she said that she and her son had only enough oil and enough meal to make some bread for themselves. They were going to eat it and then just die, starve to death. Elder Timberlake, would you read 1 Kings 17, please?
1 Kings 17 and what?
1 Kings 17.
beginning at the first verse?
Yeah.
And Elijah, the Tishbite, who was the inhabitant of Gilead, and said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the raven to feed thee there. For he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook that is before Jordan.
Through the prayers of Elijah, a child was restored back to life. And, of course, we remember the story of the challenge of the prophets of Baal there on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 18, where they were all to build their altars, but they were not to kindle a fire on the altar. And the prophets of Baal were to pray to their gods to kindle their fire and consume their sacrifice. And having prayed and prayed all day and prayed, Elijah said, well, maybe your God's asleep. You may need to wake him up. Or maybe he's on a vacation enjoying himself. Maybe you should cry a little bit longer. And Elijah was watching them whip up themselves into a frenzy. And when still there was no response, then just to rub it in, he commanded that they dig a trench around the altar. Elijah commanded them to pour water around, and Elijah was really watching them whip themselves into a frizzy, and when still there was no response, then just to rub it in, he commanded them that they dig a trench around the altar. Elijah commanded them to pour water all over the sacrifices and pour more water on it until the sacrifice was soaked and the water filled the trench. And then he prayed, and God answered the fire, consumed the sacrifice and the altar itself, licking up the water around and about. And the people were falling on their face, acknowledging Jehovah was God. And that was quite a miracle. There was the miracle of the captains that were sent by the king with their 50 men to bring him into custody. And they came out and said, Oh, thy man of God, the king has commanded that we bring you into custody. Elijah said, If I am a man of God, let him come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And the fire came down and consumed them. And so this happened to three of the captains. The fourth had a little better sense. He came out and said, Look, I am a family man. Have mercy on me. I am only doing my duty. And would you mind, please, to come with me? These are the miracles that accompanied Elijah. And, you know, Elijah was a great prophet. I'm calling him Elijah 1. And then there is Elijah 2.
Elisha.
Who was, I'm sorry?
The other one is Elisha.
Sister Dimon, like, you want to tell me how he watched Elijah and how he
you can go ahead.
Wanted to have that same anointing that Elijah had, and what he had to do to get that anointing, to get those miracles.
Elijah told him that he just had to, if he saw him when he was taken away, that he would get the double portion that he'd asked for. And he followed him everywhere he went, and he was there when God took him away. When he saw the chariot go up, he was there, and God blessed him, the miracle, with the double portion, and he did double the number of miracles that Elijah had done that's recorded in the Bible. So Elijah did eight. There's eight miracles recorded for Elijah been done in the Bible, and Elisha did 16. He doubled.
Yes.
And so what I like about this gift, though, Eloressa, is there's a lot of things in the Bible. We can read a lot of miracles in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. and we see a lot of miracles that was done. Jesus did a lot of miracles, and some of the disciples prayed for people, and they were healed, or things happened. But for some reason today, people tend to think that that was just for in Jesus' time and back then, that miracles are really not happening today.
Mm-hmm.
But when we look around, that's what I like about the testimonies that we heard on last Sunday, because mm-hmm. we brought it, made it relevant that miracles are still happening today. And miracles happen sometimes when we pray, if we notice in some of these examples you've given. And sometimes miracles happen because it's just God's divine will. We haven't prayed for it. We didn't ask for it. But it happened. Because
yes.
when things are going on and he's tired of things in Noah's day, as you just read about or talked about,
mm-hmm.
in Noah's day, when they were just having doing whatever they want and having a heyday, God decided, he picked Noah out and told him to start preparing the ark because what he was going to do. And the people hadn't seen rain. So when that happened, that was a wonderful, miraculous working miracle that God
yes.
did on the earth in the sight of man. Not necessarily that they prayed for it, but it's God showing his sovereignty and his purpose and his will. Because he says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. So there is a time that he just shows his mighty hand. And there's nothing we can do about it. Man can't do it, president, nobody. All we got to do, we just have to stand still and see him do what he does and make sure that we're in the right position of what we're supposed to be doing and where we're supposed to be when God is moving in a miraculous way.
Yes.
Does anybody else have a comment on that? What do you all think about miracles happening today and people thinking that it's just for back then? That was then, and, you know, we don't really see miracles today.
Well, I'm just going to give you a little instance. Maybe someone said this last time. I was, I think you mentioned this, Ella Timberlake, when you had that car wreck. I was driving down the freeway, and this car pulled out in front of me. So I knew that I was going to hit the car. I knew it. I just closed my eyes and just said, Jesus, Jesus. And then when I opened my eyes, I was riding on down the freeway. So I knew that God had a hand in that. I don't know where the other car went. I just called on his name, you know, and I knew that it was him. He had to do that for me.
Well, I think, you know, this is the thing. I know people think that the miracles was just for that time period, but I do believe God is still working miracles. Because if you think about even what Jesus said in the Word, when he said, he told us, greater works shall we do. So he wouldn't have promised it to us. He wouldn't have said that to us if things were not supposed to continue. First of all, the Holy Spirit is still operating in the earth. And so, therefore, miracles are still happening. Because these are the manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, that's correct.
But you know what? We need to position ourselves so we can receive the miracles.
Amen.
Because a lot of times we're out of the will of God
mm.
or off doing our own thing
mm-hmm.
or not really looking to see what God is doing or going to do because we are preoccupied
right.
with what's going on. Today in church, you know, it's funny. The pastor was saying that Gideon was asking, well, if God is with us, you know, where are the miracles? You know, if he's really here, where's the miracles that he did to Egypt? You know, he was saying it don't seem like he's with us,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of everything that we're going through. They were being oppressed by the Midianites. But and sometimes I believe we feel that way because of the things that we are plagued with, so to speak, or we're going through. We don't have ourselves in a position to hear and see God do those miracles. And most of the world, I think most of the world is like that. You know, everybody's going about busy work, but we need to take time and stand back and stand still and see God's salvation. He will do it, but we got to be in position to receive it.
Amen. That's a good word. That's a good word. We need to be in the position to receive what God has for us. And we are so busy doing our own thing that we don't take the time to really seek and knock and find him. He's there waiting for us.
Elder Russell, you know, I was thinking about the children of Israel and how many times that they were in bondage or in trouble and whatever they were in, they cried and cried and called on the Lord, and when he did answer, it was always a miraculous whatever. If they was winning a battle, whatever it was miraculous, a miraculous happening. And when we look at today, when we talk about being in position, I think sometimes we get complacent and we take God. Sometimes we don't mean to, but because we get so busy, we take him for granted, because every day is a miracle. Every day we open our eyes and see and breathe and move and limbs, and if we got our legs and arms and able to communicate, that's a miracle. There's so many people that cannot. But we take a lot of things that God does for granted. But even the miraculous, it's miraculous to even be talking, but it's even miraculous when we see the supernatural things that we normally don't see. But when God move on our behalf sometimes, we pray until we get that blessing or get that miracle. And when that miracle is over and all things is going well, we tend to get lackadaisical and get a little bit complacent again and go back to like normalcy. When we should take, when we see God come and intercede on our behalf, we should take that and elevate and grow and go and tell somebody else so they can grow. It should take us to another level, another commitment to God, so we will be better positioned. So when he's speaking or when he's about to move, that he's given us warnings, and we've heard and we've taken heed, we've making preparation, we can tell others, get them prepared like Noah had to do, is telling people about what God wants them to know or what God wants to do or how he's going to work in their lives. If we get in position, if those of us of the household of faith, if we just get in position, as you were saying, get that better connection. You know, this is a good month to do it. It's the first month of a new year. It's a time to reflect, a time to get consecrated, a time to really repent and get better position, ask God to forgive us, and really diligently seek throughout the year to make sure that we are seeking his will, that we are in position so we can see the miraculous working of the mighty hand of God.
Amen. You know, the greatest miracle has already been done. The greatest miracle is when Jesus Christ died and gave his life for us. That was the greatest miracle, you know. And that should have been enough then, but it was not enough for us. For our human side of us is so carnal. It's so geared to the lust of this world. You know, I was thinking about the center that I go to once a month for the depressed, depression, drugs, and whatever else. And I had one little lady there that was, she was pretty much blind. She was schizophrenic, bipolar, and I mean so many things, you know. And she said, "Why did God make me like this?" She was able to say that for me to understand. And, of course, I didn't have the correct answer to that. I said, "I don't know why God made you like that. But I do know this. If you have accepted Christ for your Savior, then one day you're going to shed this old body and you're going to receive the resurrected body, brand new. You won't have anything. It may be a testimony. I don't know. To today, you're here in church. You've accepted Christ. You're interested in his word. And you're an example even to me and those that are around you." And that night in the service, they moved us from the cafeteria to the gym. so it took up time. So, but my thought was, God works things out. All things work together for the good, for whatever purpose. But my nephew was there to do a mind presentation for him, so it worked out with a large room. I had so many questions and so many disturbances that night. And I had a gentleman was saying that, you're not listening to me. I'm back here. Is it because they're white or, stuff like that, you know. So, you know, I was just trying to be as loving as I could, you know, in the situation. And finally he came up to the front to get right there in front of me. And so finally they said he was just disrupting, so they took him out. But it was just kind of a fight, but I was able to stand my ground with the help of the Lord. But at the end of the service, I had two Muslims to give their lives to Christ, and I had one other man to come. I said he was just tired of living the way he was, and he gave his life. So I said, out of all of that, God still manifested a miracle.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So, you know, there are all types of miracles around. It's like Ella Timelech was saying, today is a miracle. You know, mm-hmm. God didn't have to wake us up today, but he did to see another day. What are we going to do with it? Is it just for us? It is to share the love of Christ with someone else. I think about our elder that passed, that church passed, that was one of our elders. You know, I was in class with her, and very happy person, and always smiling, and I was just shocked, you know, but at the loss. But, you know, it could have been me, and it could have been you or you. So we got to really take inventory of our surroundings and be thankful for this day. And not allow the enemy to come in and snatch it from us with oppression, depression, stress, you know. We got to know that God said, cast your cares unto me, and I will make things easier. We got to learn to trust him completely. And that could be one reason why we're not seeing all the things that we need to see and hear from God the way we want to, because we're allowing the enemy to come in and sabotage what God is trying to show us. So we need to be more focused, more conscious on him, our Savior, so God can display the miracles. I've seen quite a few things that I would think that was a miracle. And so I know that God can. I know that God can. But we need to have the spiritual eyes to see, and we need to have the spiritual ears to hear what God is trying to tell his children. And we live in a time now with a new president. We don't know which direction he's going. We need some insight. We need some spiritual insight, and we need some spiritual direction in this year, 2017. Anyone else have a comment?
One thing I think about is maybe it's the way that we are thinking about miracles today. Because mm-hmm. if we think about, I'm like Yola Timberlake, I think what she said, you know, every day we wake up is a miracle. Every day we go and come is a miracle. You know, when we have been people are in the hospitals being operated on, and for them to come through those surgeries is a miracle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just because, you know, the doctor was a good surgeon, that don't mean that they were going to come through. But God blessed the doctor's hands and blessed the people that were operating more than miracles. I think that, you know, we're looking for these great, sometimes we're looking at these things, and those things can still happen. But I think sometimes we're looking for, you know, if the tornado passed you by, that was a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, some of these things we got to think about. If you prayed and asked God, the Lord let it pass us by, and it did, that was a miracle. I think we have to think about things like that. Or if you know, if you were sick and you were healed, and you those are miracles. And so we got to thank God for each and every act of
right.
his kindness and his love and his mercy that is shown toward us. And I believe God can do anything. But I think that we have to understand that each day or each time that the Lord just touches us and he guides us and directs us, those are all miracles. Because if we think about in Jesus' day, those were miracles when the people were healed. Well, we're being healed today.
Yes. Yes, we're being healed today.
You know, we may not be going down to the fish and finding the money, but the Lord will open up a door.
He'll open up a door. Right.
That's a miracle today. That's our fish and the money sometimes. Our money and the fish, you know. When Jesus told him to go down to the brook and it said the money would be down there in the fish's mouth, and he found the fish and got the money. So we got to think of it things different. We're in a different time than what they were in. But the way God is still operating is he's still operating the same, because the Bible said he's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore.
Mm-hmm. I remember a story that was told quite a while ago about the man that was at the store buying groceries, and it just came in to buy a gallon of milk. He said, why am I buying this milk? But he said he went ahead and bought it. And meanwhile, there was a lady with a new baby that needed milk, but he didn't know someone in his neighborhood. And for some reason, he said, well, I think I'll just stop and check on her. And when he did stop, he heard the baby crying, and he was asking her what was going on with the baby, and she said she needed milk. So he knew right then, being a Christian, that God had put that in his mind to get that milk. And sometimes we don't see, like we were saying, all miracles, not big miracles you can see. Sometimes God will put something in you. I was reading this. He'll put a thought into your mind, something for you to do. And if it lines up with the word of God, then you know it has to be for God, you know. And even today, he put something in my mind, call this person and talk to them about a certain thing. And it did line up with the word of God. It's something I didn't agree with at first. But when I thought about it, to change that atmosphere of it, you go in and get it straight. You know, it just popped into my mind. So, and I read on that. Sometimes God just places something in your mind. And if it lines up with the word of God, if it's a good thing, if it's a good fruit, then apply it. Amen.
That's a key point, Elder Russell, because what you're basically saying is that these gifts that are operating in through us and around us, they are tested by the word. They're going to line up with the word.
Yes.
They're going to line up with the word, and that's a good thing that we should know, because it's not about us. It's never about us. And when all of these miraculous things that God does, when he extends legs, when he, my sister hemorrhaged for 10 months, and God miraculously healed her. She was legally blind and wore big thick glasses all my life, and she went to a revival and somebody prayed for her. She did. She ended up having 20/20 vision. You know, I've seen God do miraculous. My pastor from Indianapolis was in a coma for 90 days. Got shot. Was in the military in the war, and when he came back, they said if he lived, he would be a vegetable. He had the kind of memory. Not only did he live, but he learned he could quote the Bible, all 66 books, word for word. And if you left out the word and or T-H-E, he would correct you. That's how well his mind was so sharp. And God gave him such a good revelation of the word that he was able to articulate it and feed the sheep. And God just blessed him. Supernaturally, things happen all the time around us that sometimes we forget, that we can't even explain.
Right.
But we know that it had to be God, because if it had not been for God, because that's what David was really saying, if it hadn't been for the Lord who was on my side, I would have been swallowed up, or I would have fainted, because he had to believe in the law of the Lord, because his trust was in him. And as we trust in him, trust helps us to be lined up. Trust helps us, and the way we build our trust is we are constantly studying the word, and we are building up our faith. And as God shows us that he's moving in what we would call in our finite minds and our humanist, small things, and as we begin to build our faith, we see him doing more miraculous things. We see him using us more to do things that, wow, I didn't know God would even use me like that. We'd be so amazed at what he does. We'd be so humble because he would even use us, that he would even choose us. He chose Noah because Noah was pleasing in his sight.
He chose Abraham because Abraham was faithful to him. He's looking for somebody that he can use that's faithful in position, that he can use to do what he's called him to do. Because he already got the plan is already written. He's already orchestrated. The blueprints are already there. It's a matter of the total manifestation of the fulfillment of what he's already designed. So he's looking for somebody to fulfill history, his history, and operate miraculously so that he can just pour out his spirit. Because that's what the word said in the last days, that he would pour out his spirit on all flesh.
Yes.
And so while the spirit is operating, then we need to get in position, get under the umbrella. So we'll say, Lord, use me. Oh, God, any way you can use me. Here I am, an empty vessel, willing to be used like Isaiah. Here I am, but send me. You need somebody. I'm willing to be used with whatever you want me to do. That's what God is looking for. And when we do that, watch him do miraculous things around our loved ones and our families and friends, coworkers, and people. Say, well, how did you know that? Sometimes on your job, God gave you insight. He gave you, like we talked about the other gifts, he gave us a word. He gave us knowledge. He gave us wisdom how to make decisions.
Yes.
And all of these things, they're all associated, but it's built on your relationship with God, how your commitment to his word, commitment to him, and how you building up your faith. Because all this takes trusting God. Trusting God. That is how we really get positioned so we can see the mighty hand of God work, and not only see, but be used by him to be instruments so he can use us to fulfill and allow miracles to be worked even through us and with us.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to share a situation with you all, then I'm going to turn it back over to Ella Bryson. It's getting close to that time. I'm a nurse, and I work at the VA hospital, and I work with a gentleman who many times we talked about the Lord, and I witnessed to him. He really wasn't living the life, but, you know, he knew God. He told me the next day where he said, you know, I want to tell you something that happened to me. He said, my kids, his wife was a school teacher, he had two or three kids, he said, they were going to the store, and they asked him, he said, would you like to go to the store with me? He said, no, I'll just wait here. But he said, while they were gone, he said he had a dream. He fell asleep, and he dreamed that they were in a fatal car accident. And he said, he looked up and he saw a heavenly team come down into the car and work on his family. So he said, when the family got home, they said, Daddy, Daddy, we was almost in a car wreck. And he knew then that God had intervened and saved his family's life. So I often think about that sometimes, you know. He's deceased now, but that was a miracle that God showed him, that he protected his family from death. I just want to share that with you. Because God works miracles in many ways, awake or asleep.
Yes.
And right. Now, Ella Bryson, I think it's time for me to turn it back over to you.
Okay. Well, I just want to say I have another testimony. When I lived in Indianapolis one time, I had just gotten a new car and had taken a friend of mine to get some money for her children so they could eat and all this good stuff. And when I got back to my apartment in Indianapolis, I saw this man when I was getting ready to turn around. I saw him, but I paid, you know, and I said in my spirit, oh, I hope he don't bother me. But I go to walk in my apartment, and when I walk up, and I just happen to look around, when I turned around, this man grabbed me he grabbed my arm, put my hand behind me, told me not to say a word. It looked like my mouth was open, saying something, but nothing came out. And he snatched my purse, and he put a gun to my head. And, you know, I'm just so in shock with that. But he left my keys so I could get in my apartment. He didn't take the keys, even though they was in my hand. And when I had a chance to reflect and I began to think, I said, now, you know, that's a miracle. First of all, he didn't have to leave my keys.
He could have taken me and made me go to my apartment. He could have done anything. But all he took was my purse. And a few days later, somebody called me. They found the purse and everything except the money. My credit card, my license, everything was still in that purse.
Praise God.
It was just amazing. And the fact that he put a gun to my head, he could have shot me, but he didn't shoot me. He ran off and left. And God spared my life because he spared it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a miracle. Every time you look back, and it makes me look at life differently because, as I said, he has spared it so many times. Because when the enemy is after you, and when God got purpose and destiny, the enemy is always trying to take you out. But that's why you have to stay so connected to the Lord. So I didn't know I was going to need that protection at night. I didn't know I was going to need God to end my life was going to be in danger like that, because we just take going to and forth, as we said earlier, we take it for granted. We just go in, we go to A, we go to point B, and we think we're going to make it. You know, just driving on the highway now is just dangerous. And it's a miracle that you can get from A to B safely. But still, you know, I wasn't even thinking about it. But about 10 o'clock at night, all of a sudden, I'm a single lady by myself at night, and this man put a gun to my head. It's so many things that could have happened. There was nobody else there. But and then the fact that I was able at least to go into my apartment to call the cops and call whoever. But if he could have done so much, and when I begin to reflect on that, all I could do was say, thank you, Jesus. I could just say thank you, because I see your hand on my life. And I see the enemy keep trying to pull me and distract me. But some kind of way, little by little, I'm going to hold on to just a little bit. If I can't hold on to all the faith that we said, we got a little bit of faith, I'm not going to hold on to that little bit of faith till I can get to where I need to be.
Amen.
I think that's what we as Christians and believers and those that are vacillating, not sure, I think we need to get to the point where we say, Lord, I'm imperfect, but I'm trying. And if we're trying, if we're really trying and committed, he will help us. He will help us, undergird us, and he will lead us in the path that he's wanting us to go, even though the enemy keeps trying to bring all these distractions, a bunch of noise in your ear, and he's so you can't hear him. But we, as we begin to get closer to him, then we'll be closer to our brother. We'll know when our sisters and brothers are in trouble.
Yes.
We don't know when people are in trouble in the church nowadays because we are not as connected as we need to be.
Yes.
So that's a miracle. We need to pray for that connection, for that reconnection, so we can be our brothers and sisters' keeper without them having to call and tell us all the time. Because just like you were saying, God can show us in dreams that somebody got an issue. He put people in our heart for something, and there's a reason they're on our heart. So, you know, we need to intercede more so even others can see the miraculous handiwork of God moving.
Man.
If I had to say, Bryce, it's back to you.
Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord that I started thinking about so much stuff myself. I thought about when I was younger, and I was a child. This time, and my dad was driving. He was getting ready to leave, and I always loved going with my dad, and I would always cry if I couldn't go with him, and you know, I would cry and things like that. And my mother, one time, she said, no, you cannot go. And I mean, I threw a fit, but she told me I couldn't go, so my father had left and went someplace, but when he came back, that whole passenger side was tore up.
Wow.
And, you know, that was before seatbelts. And so, you know, before we really wore seatbelts. So I think about that sometimes. I said, Lord, the Lord blessed my life, and thank God that my mother was persistent in not letting me go. And even when I was about, I think I was about 16 years old, I was working part-time at a clothing store called JJ Fashion at the time. I think that was the name of the store. And how it was, we ended up getting robbed that night. And the man had a gun, and he was waving the gun. And I didn't really know what was happening at first. And then I saw the gun. I remember just dropping down. I don't even know if I bent down. I just dropped. I don't know how I got on that floor. But anyway, then they took us and put us in a fitting room, and they was robbing the store, and then they took us and locked us in the bathroom. But I just thank God for sparing my life, because they could have went anyway. You know, it could have went anyway. But I thank God for how he protected me. At a young age, he was protecting. And so I thank God for that, because when God got a purpose and plan for your life, he will protect you. Even though the enemy is trying to annihilate you, God's protection, His hand of protection is around you, and I thank God so much for that. Does anybody else want to share any testimonies before we begin to close?
I just want to say this, and those with us, the spiritual gifts of miracles, often have a heightened sensitivity to the presence and power of God through His Holy Spirit. They have a special measure of faith and desire for God to reveal Himself and draw many to faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. They take care not to draw attention to themselves or have a following of people, but are constantly pointing others to Jesus. Those with this gift understand that God is sovereign and He can work when, how He desires. But they make sure they are available and listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. This gift is often accompanied by prayer and strong petition by these individuals for God to reveal His glory to people. They do not claim power themselves, but always give credit and glory to God for His mighty works. God will deliberately humble them to keep them relying on His grace and pointing to His Son, Jesus Christ, rather than miracles.
Amen.
And we're so thankful that for the teaching today and for all the testimonies that was shared, and we hope that, you know, someone was blessed by just the ministry that has went forth today and the testimonies. And we hope, the Bible says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and from the word of our by the word of our testimony. And so sometimes we don't really get to hear these testimonies anymore, and I think sometimes that's not the best thing that we've done or how we've conducted things and kind of turned things around, but that we don't make room for that in the service anymore. And I understand why, because people just get up and do too much. But anyway, but we thank God for just this opportunity to be able to share with you all the things, the miraculous things that God is still doing. And so that we can understand that He's still working miracles every day and in our lives and things like that. And sometimes we might not have a physical Jericho wall, just like the wall that was around Jericho, but we got walls that He brings down for us every day. That He can bless us to go into a better place and things like that. Those are some of the things that He's doing for us when we know we didn't deserve some things, but God blessed us with them anyway. Those are all miracles, and we got to begin to testify of His goodness and tell everyone about His goodness. I tell people all the time when I'm over at the hospital, I say, you know, this is just a part of your success story, and one day you might be in a place where you can share your story with somebody and help somebody else not go through the various steps that you went through, but be able to hear your testimony and be delivered and set free from it. So these are the things we do. So we're all living miracles. We're walking around, and we have so many testimonies and things like that that we can share with one another. I was going to ask Elder Timberlake if you would do our invitation to Christ today.
Okay. If you've heard the word, if something has been said today that has pricked your heart, and you then I want those miracles to be working in my life, or I've not seen those miracles and I would love to be able to see those miracles, and you don't have a relationship with Christ, or your relationship with Christ has gotten a little lax, we just want to let you know that God still loves you. He has not forgotten you, and that you are a living miracle. You're still living and breathing. You're still a miracle. And we just want to offer Him to you. If you've never had a relationship with Him, we want to offer you to accept Him as your Lord and Savior by simply praying a simple prayer. And if you have known Christ and you're ready to give your life back to Him, just tell Him you're ready to come back home. Ask Him to forgive you, and He's got open arms to receive you. But if you've never received Christ, repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this opportunity. I thank You for what I've heard. I ask You, Lord, to come into my life today. Forgive me of my sins. I do believe that Jesus died for me, and he rose again, that he is the Lord of Lords. I believe that he loves me, and I want to be his child. And today I accept him as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you believe that prayer, and you pray that prayer and you believe what you said, then you have been accepted in the beloved, and you are now saved. And we recommend that you find you a good Bible teaching church so you can grow and mature in the spiritual things of God, so you can become the daughters and the sons that he's destined for you already. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for her, the offering of the invitation to join the body of Christ. We're so thankful for everyone that logged in today, everyone that called in, and even those that will listen to the archive later. If you know someone that needs this teaching, please let them know about it so that they can log on and begin to just be blessed by the Word of God and all that was said today. And even on the prior broadcast, that we have been talking about spiritual gifts for some time, and it's just such a blessing to be able to stir. The Bible tells us even to stir up the gifts that is within us. So these are things. He wouldn't have said all of those things if these things weren't still operational in the church today. I mean, in us today or in the world today. So we're so thankful just for the teaching. And I'm going to ask if Sister Dotson would do our final prayer. And, of course, we will be back here again on next week on the Prosperous Souls broadcast. And we will continue, Elder Russell, Elder Timberlake will continue to teach on spiritual gifts. I think we got about four more to get through. And so we will continue on with the teaching. And we're just so thankful for everyone that takes the time to listen to this ministry. Sister Dotson.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for your word, Lord. We declare that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Dear God, I pray you continue to bless everyone that has heard. I pray you bless everyone that has been involved. I pray you bless them this week. Give them wisdom how to go in and out among your people, dear God. I pray that you just protect them, bless their families and their homes. Dear God, we thank you for this opportunity, and we pray that you keep everyone until we meet again, oh God. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, I bless your name and thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank all of you all, and we will see you back here next week on the Prosperous Souls. God bless
Amen.
Everyone.
Amen. God bless
you.
God bless.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to GEICO than saving you money, GEICO also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the GEICO app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite!
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Your new Walmart fuel station is now open. Stop by today to save money at the pump and get the prices you love on quick meals, drinks, and more. Inside, you'll find hot foods, including hot dogs and pizza, a beverage bar with fountain drinks, tea, and coffee, all your favorite salty snacks and candy, plus a walk-in beer cooler and more. Now open at 1187 and East Main Street in Crowley. Save money, live better. Walmart.